It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Police and other law enforcement are cracking down on illegal vaping products. They're connected to health concerns. 1,800 people across the country have gotten sick from vaping-related illness, and more than 36 have died. That's information from the CDC. You're part of this conversation. Do you vape or use e-cigarettes? Have you tried some off-market products? Maybe you opted not to just because you're worried about what could happen. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're talking about the vaping black market with John Chisholm. He's the Milwaukee County District Attorney, first elected in 2006. He's on the Milwaukee High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Board. John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, Keely. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. And before we get to vaping, though, we do need to talk about a crime that happened a few days ago. There's a victim who says a man threw battery acid on his face after making racist comments. And I wonder, does your office plan to file hate crime charges?
Sure. That's a case that was presented to us late yesterday afternoon by the Milwaukee Police Department, and we anticipate issuing charges sometime today. We're going to be looking very, very closely at first the underlying substantive offenses, and then we'll make a determination whether the facts support a hate crime. But it's obviously a concern to many people, not just in this community, but really around the country right now. And, you know, we've had other incidents in the Milwaukee area, and you've seen them around the country. And what I emphasize is that at least in Wisconsin, there's really two levels that you can look at, and that would be an offense that is issued as a state criminal charge, which I anticipate this one will be. And what we're looking at is an enhancer. So unlike a federal civil rights offense, which is in and of itself a criminal offense if it's motivated by improper criteria, the state crime is an enhancer. It actually adds time to the underlying offense. So if we'll be looking to determine if the crime was committed in whole or in part by the person's belief or perception regarding the individual's race, his religion, his color, any kind of disability, sexual orientation, or national origin. That's the language right out of our statute. So we'll be looking at that very closely.
All right, John, we'll pay attention later today and as the week moves on. Let's shift to our conversation about vaping. This summer, Wisconsin saw a rash of lung illnesses among people using e-cigarettes or other vaping devices. How did Milwaukee County law enforcement respond when people started showing up at hospitals?
So this is an emerging concern. There's no question about it. Unfortunately, it's in the context of a lot of other high-priority concerns related to controlled substances. Milwaukee is on pace to have over 400 overdose deaths this year. Most of those are related to opioids and combinations of opioid, fentanyl. The rest of the state is continuing to experience severe methamphetamine problems. So this emerges in the context of what first was recognized as a health issue, and then quickly after that, we started seeing when law enforcement focused on it, you saw, say, a major investigation that resulted in the seizure of significant amounts of illegal vaping products from Kenosha County, and then that was followed a short time later by a seizure here in Milwaukee, on the south side of Milwaukee, of thousands of, again, illegal vaping cartridges and the seizure of a huge amount of cash. And that's what we're concerned about, is that there's really two approaches. One is just sort of the traditional strict law enforcement. This is an illegal controlled substance. We're going to conduct a criminal investigation. And then there are the problems associated with regulation. And so this falls right in between the two, because the vaping products themselves are often legal, and it's not until they're modified in some way where they can't be regulated, they can't be controlled, that the problems crop up. And so it's not dissimilar to what we've encountered with synthetic marijuana, K2, and the more common sense. Last year we had an incident where People became severely ill because the K2 was contaminated with rat poisoning. So this is the concern right here. It's in that gray area between what is a legal product that is then modified in some way to make it illegal, and it has a unanticipated, unintended health consequence that is a real concern and could potentially lead to criminal liability for the people that engage in that activity.
Let's talk more about that and go to the phones. George from Nina, welcome to the morning show.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your perspective here?
So one of the things that really needs to be discussed is that there's two big separate discussions, one being nicotine vaping, which is the quit smoking tool, and the other is illegal drug use. And they're always talked about in the same breath, to the point where people who are illegally using drugs are getting the law enforcement and not just the law enforcement, the legislation's attention, to the point where they're trying to ban e-cigarettes, which are the largest quit smoking tool ever made. There's an estimated, I think, 500,000 adult e-cigarette users in the state of Wisconsin that are former smokers.
And George,
My customer base is almost 2,000 people, and these are former smokers. There's some people that are using illegal drugs, and unfortunately, they're kind of ruining it for everyone else. And the media just kind of snaps to it and wants to ban everything that's heated with a battery. And unfortunately, that's causing a lot of harm to people that try to quit smoking or, like myself, have quit already and haven't touched a cigarette in years.
Yeah. George, thanks so much. John, George owns a couple of vape shops and says we need to draw a bright line when we're talking about this.
No, look, I think George is making a absolutely legitimate point. And this is the fine balance that law enforcement has to engage in all the time. And he's absolutely right. There's a distinct process for legal products, right? And that's where I put those in the regulatory framework. So it's no different than selling alcohol or tobacco or any other legal product. You still have to follow the rules and regulations associated with it. And the people that do so are engaged in perfectly legitimate activity. And sometimes the product that they're selling, as George is mentioning, is actually beneficial when compared to the alternative, right? So you're not trying, our approach is not to be overbroad in this. It's really to focus on the people that are engaging in that unregulated behavior that can cause some really significant harm to the community. And most people that are engaged in the business, and this is a broader discussion that this state will have to have in the context of either decriminalizing or legalizing marijuana in the future. You know, do you essentially move from a criminal framework to a regulatory framework? And I believe that we are going to eventually move towards that regulatory framework, but you're always going to have the same problems, just like you have problems with alcohol abuse and you have problems with, as I mentioned before, products like K2 and things like that. There's always going to be an opportunity to abuse the product or abuse the substance, and there will always be people that are willing to pay money to do that.
We're discussing the recent rash of vaping illnesses with Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, also a member of the Washington, D.C.-based Association of Prosecuting Attorneys. I'm Keely Boltina. We wonder what you think law enforcement should know about vaping or prosecuting illegal use. Have you ever purchased vaping products off the street? What did they have over the store options? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. John, what has your office learned from investigating the people who supply these vaping products that contain THC, some that have made people sick?
Well, what we found is because the product is legal, what will happen oftentimes is that a large number of legal products are going to be purchased in the states where they're legal. They're brought into Wisconsin, and then they're modified in some way that is potentially illegal. They could be, you know, modified by putting a controlled substance into the product, and sold that way, and it's generally then sold on the black market because it's always a cash-based industry, and it always follows essentially the same trade route that other illegal substances follow. It attracts the same problems, and that is that you become subject to, number one, putting out a harmful product that can't be sourced quickly and stopped if it's causing harm. But the other problem is, because it's a cash-based industry, it tends to attract people that are also engaged in illegal activity, like robbing drug dealers. And for example, the recent seizure in the south side of Milwaukee, there was nearly $1 million in cash in this residential neighborhood, and it's far too common in our experience for, once that gets known out on the street, those individuals become targets of home invasions and robberies, and that brings a lot of trouble to residential streets that are, you know, like any other residential area, just looking to be safe in their home and send their kids to school and go to work. So that's the concern right there, is that the decision by the people to engage in the illegal activity attracts a lot of other problems and concerns.
So it might not be quite as simple as it appears when we first begin talking about it. John Chisholm stays with us. Our conversation continues. He's the Milwaukee County District Attorney, part of the Milwaukee High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Board. And the line is open. What question do you have for him? 800-642-1234. Do you work in healthcare? Have you seen problems related to vaping with these counterfeit cartridges? What do patients tell you, and what do you hope law enforcement does about it? You can call 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Stay with us. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Health officials are following links between vaping and lung injuries, with hundreds of people hurt and some who have died. And state and national investigations are pointing to street products, especially those containing THC, as a major part of the problem, and that includes here in Wisconsin. Do you use off-market vape products? Parents, have you talked to your kids about this? Maybe you're a teacher or an administrator. What's happening with vaping in schools? 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join this conversation. Ask your questions of Milwaukee County's elected District Attorney John Chisholm. He stays with us now. And John, I wonder about the idea that you're looking to file charges against people in the production of these counterfeit vaping products. What movement have you been able to take there?
Well, the approach is not dissimilar to what we would take with any other controlled substance. So in Wisconsin, there's a fundamental distinction between people who possess controlled substances, for example, for personal consumption, and those who possess them with the intention of engaging in distribution and sale. And we always make a distinction on how we approach that. At least in Milwaukee County, we do. And the assumption is, with people in possession of the products, we generally are looking towards addressing that underlying addiction issue, and using the contact with the system as an ability to assess why the person is having contact with law enforcement, and if there's an underlying issue related to addiction, mental health issues like that, then we want to address that first. It's a whole different approach for people that are engaged in the commercial distribution of harmful products, because they're basically making the decision that they're going to put their personal profit ahead of the health and welfare of other people. And you certainly see that in the context of heroin and fentanyl distribution, where every single one of those deaths is a tragedy that affects more than just the family. It impacts on the entire community. So our approach to it is really to make a distinction between the people that are engaged in the unlawful distribution and sale versus those who are experimenting, using, or addicted to controlled substance. You did mention, and I think that's an excellent point, is that the concern is always whether it's a legal product or an illegal product. When it starts filtering down into the high school and the grade school level, then it really becomes a concern, because whether it's legal or illegal for an adult, once a child is exposed to that and starts using that product, it is almost always categorically going to be a problem. And I have spoken to school officials. They're seeing kids as young as you know, second, third grade using vape products. And
wow.
It's obviously a very serious concern, and that's going to remain a concern whether it's a legal product or an illegal product. But if it's an unregulated substance where you don't know what's in it, and a kid ingests it, the potential for harm is magnified.
Yeah, we have a caller who wants to talk about the issue of vaping and teenagers. Becky from Appleton, what do you want to say in this conversation?
So I have an 18-year-old right now, but when she started vaping when she was 16 and 17, and there was a vape shop that would sell non-nicotine vape things and the actual vape machines, I don't know, to kids. And so all the kids from the school are going there and buying it. I called the owner of the store, and he said it's not illegal. I called the police department. They said it's not illegal. There's no nicotine. They can buy it. And what happens is it's right now left up to each municipality to regulate it in a hit-and-miss fashion. So all the kids knew they could go out to Grand Chute and buy this stuff. So now she's now 18. She can buy the nicotine stuff, which she is, and she's addicted. But I really think there needs to be a state law preventing the sale of the non-nicotine stuff, which is a excellent gateway for kids to get started. That's my comment.
Well, Becky, thank you so much for sharing your experience with this. John, what do you hear there?
So what I'm hearing is not new, unfortunately. I would call this sort of the Joe Camel effect, right? So we have seen this in the past with the marketing of cigarettes and the marketing of other products, that everybody that is the least bit objective and rational about it knows that it's a very deliberate approach to try to attract younger consumers and get them addicted to a product. And so we've seen that, you know, you had, you know, the blunt wrappers, the K2, different types of flavored alcohol drinks. It's clearly directed at creating another market for the future. And it's something that I agree it should be an elevated concern that should, as a bare minimum, be discussed in terms of how you regulate and control the deliberate targeting of young kids with potentially harmful products. So I think it's a very legitimate concern, and it shouldn't be done. It never makes sense when you just leave it to the local municipalities on such a major issue. You know, I believe in local control on certain issues, but when you're up against a huge marketing push, whether legal or illegal, that's focused on vulnerable populations, then it requires, I think, a broader response.
Yeah, John from Eau Claire called, couldn't stay with us, but says that he teaches at an after-school program for middle schoolers and notices that they go out to vape right after school. And John's concerned that e-cigarettes are marketing to kids and that it could convince them to start smoking or use tobacco products later in life. So certainly we're seeing this across Wisconsin. We're catching up with Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, and we're discussing vaping and the challenges that are associated with trying to deal with the illegal aspects of this practice that some people have adopted. John, I do wonder, with this recent rash of lung injuries and the apparent role that THC has played with these products, has that changed your view on marijuana legalization in Wisconsin?
You know, I think that we have to have a very honest and very robust discussion that includes law enforcement and includes people from other states that have now legalized cannabis and have experience. You know, the thing that amazes me is that we tend to operate like we're in a bubble, and we know that Illinois has now legalized a certain amount of marijuana, Minnesota, Michigan. You're essentially creating a framework where you're going to have jurisdictions in surrounding states that have some form of either legalization or decriminalization, and it's going to create the same kind of dilemmas for law enforcement. And how are you going to be consistent about this? How are you going to apply the law in an equitable way across the board? So it's a very legitimate concern of mine, and that is that I just fundamentally believe that one way or the other, we are moving towards a process that will eventually de-emphasize criminal investigation and prosecution and move more towards a regulatory framework. I think we should learn from what other states, both good and bad, have experienced when they've gone through this process. And I'm working with groups in Wisconsin to as a minimum, let's hold a robust discussion. Bring in those experts, both public health experts, law enforcement, public schools, community development people who are looking at creating different forms of revenue for states and for individuals. Let's have that discussion and let's actually come up with a rational framework for addressing this problem instead of just waiting for bad things to happen and then reacting sometimes in ways that are more harmful than helpful.
John, thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you very much.
John Chisholm was the Milwaukee County District Attorney. He was first elected in 2006, and we've been talking about vaping and how challenging it is to get a hold of what's illegal and enforce the regulations. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.